Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Well, it wasn't exactly an FBI sting operation or an Untouchables-style roundup of crime figures, but Saudi Arabia reported yesterday...
It would still make a good crime movie.
Indeed, indeed. Well, over the last 5 months, they say, they've arrested more than 100 suspected militants linked to Al-Qaeda who have been planning attacks on oil plants and security forces in the Desert Kingdom. The terrorists are reportedly linked to Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, the Yemen-based branch of the organization. It's the same group that trained that Christmas Day bomber, Ali Farouk Abdulmutallab. With so many alleged Al-Qaeda members now identified and arrested, what does this mean for the organization? And while Americans maybe often think of themselves as the target of Al-Qaeda, in every message from Osama bin Laden and every Al-Qaeda threat to the West is also a threat to the royal family in Saudi Arabia. Joining us now is Brian O'Neill, independent analyst and expert on security in Yemen. He joins us from Chicago. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are you?
And Carol Murphy is back with us, a reporter with Global Post, a stringer for the Christian Science Monitor. Carol, let me just begin with you. Who were arrested, do we know, and how many of them have close links with Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula?
Well, there were a total of 113 people arrested, and about 52 or 3 of them were Saudis, and the rest were foreigners, and most of the foreigners were Yemenis. Now, a lot of them were linked to one network, and typically when they have large sweeps like this, they pick up a lot of people, and then they investigate the degree of closeness to the network that this person had. And then some people, you know, may have just been messengers or sympathizers. However, there were 12 people that were arrested, and they were divided into two what the authorities are calling suicide cells.
Uh-huh.
And General Turkey, who is the spokesman for the Ministry of Interior, explained that they really believe these two cells of 12 people each, 11 of them Saudis, we're going to attack the oil installations. He said it's typically Al-Qaeda method of operation to have 6 people in a suicide cell, 2 to 2 blow themselves up, and 4 to help the other 2.
That's Carol Murphy in Saudi Arabia with the Global Post. She also writes for the Christian Science Monitor. Brian O'Neill, tell me a little bit about Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. The leader of the group apparently escaped from a jailbreak in Yemen in 2006. And what do they have against the royal family in Saudi Arabia?
Well, obviously, the royal family is one of the key targets for any Al-Qaeda group. And I think what Nasr al-Wahishi, the emir of Al-Qaeda in Yemen, the man who escaped from prison about 4 years ago, that's definitely always been one of his big targets, partly just because of the theological implications, that, you know, removing the apostate from the peninsula, from the holy cities. But I think also one of their goals is to establish themselves as the primary Al-Qaeda group in the world. And making an attack on the kingdom, you know, the goal for just about every jihadi, will help to establish themselves as that, will help to increase their global stature in the jihadi community.
And let's talk a little bit about the broad demographic issues in Saudi Arabia. I mean, they have two problems regarding recruiting for terrorists that might want to take down the Saudi government. And I'll ask Carol Murphy this in a moment as well. First, there are the Yemenis from the south who and the bin Laden family is ethnically from that region. Who have their own beef with the Saudi government. And then there is the tens of thousands of disaffected, educated males who aren't members of the royal family inside Saudi Arabia who are ripe for being recruited because they really have nothing else to do in Saudi Arabia. Is the kingdom dealing with this at all?
They've always been making comments about how they're going to diversify their economy, but so far nothing has really opened up in that way in the sense of getting more jobs than just from the oil industry, most of which go, you know, to people in the royal family. They've managed to, you know, as Carol Murphy said, they managed to break the original group of Saudi Arabia militants over the course of the last decade, but I don't think until recently they really took seriously the threat of Al-Qaeda from Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
Yemen has always been kind of the little brother in the peninsula. And it wasn't until the attack on Mohammed bin Nayef, the deputy interior minister, in last August,
right,
that they began to realize that, wow, we really do have a serious problem on our border. Before then, there was kind of a disbelief that anything strong could come out of Yemen.
Carol, what's your assessment? Are the Saudis dealing seriously with these two sort of demographic problems I outlined?
They are making a big effort to in two major fields. One is education, and one is creating jobs. Now, these are huge efforts that are going to take many years. They're just at the beginning of both of these efforts. But their attitude towards Al-Qaeda right now is quite different from what it was in 2003. There's a big contrast. In 2003, they were caught totally unawares that there would be young people willing to blow up people and property in Saudi Arabia. Today, they've 7 years after they've launched this counterterrorism program, which the key part of it is a very intensive policing, they're now rounding up people before these attacks can happen, which is good. Now, they certainly have other aspects to their counterterrorism program. One is changing the textbooks for religion to de-emphasize the idea that non-Muslims are people to be attacked. They have media campaigns. They are retraining their imams. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that sympathy for Al-Qaeda among a certain percentage of the population has gone away. It's there. But I would say, overall, the majority of Saudis have no sympathy for Al-Qaeda.
All right, Carol Murphy, reporter with the Global Post and a stringer for the Christian Science Monitor. Thanks so much. She's in Saudi Arabia. Thanks, Carol.
Brian O'Neill, the United States justice system has had trouble proving intent and oftentimes proving that someone is a real member of Al-Qaeda. Is there a different burden of proof or a standard for the Saudis that they can prove that people are members of these cells and that they intended to blow themselves up?
I think that they have a much looser looser idea of what guilty will be there. I don't think that they're necessarily as worried as we are about the court system.
But serious challenges ahead for the Saudis. The arrests are just the beginning. Brian O'Neill, independent analyst and expert on Yemeni security, talking to us from Chicago, Illinois. Both Brian O'Neill and Carol Murphy reacting to the report that the Saudis have arrested more than 100 people with Al-Qaeda links, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, over the last 5 months.